Just a reminder, there is a sermon outline inside your worship folder. It's in the, I believe, the, in the weekly newsletter. Just kind of shake the bulletin a little bit, it'll fall out. And if you'd like to follow along with the sermon in that way. March 24th, 1989. Do you remember what happened that year? Some 37 years ago, we're coming up on an anniversary of it in just a few days as the world watched these images. Remember this? The Exxon Valdez dumped most of its crude oil into the Prince William Sound in Alaska. Many were upset over the destruction, over this, what it looked like, this careless act. There were protests. There was anger. There was a lot of pointing of fingers. If we can go to the next picture, that would be great. And we'll get there. And but however, you know, one news kind of put it all into perspective. And they reported that the American kind of do-it-yourselfers dumped some 193 million gallons of motor oil in storm drains and back alleys each year. That's about 15 times the amount of oil that was spilled in Alaska. Oil spills happen too often, not just in the world like this, but in our lives as well. It is a crude mess. We see someone else's sin as a major sin, but fail to see the oil spills in our own lives. And the oil spills happen again and again and again. Jesus knows our sin, every oil spill, every crude mess. And yet, remember those cutting words that Jesus said from the cross? He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Not, "Father, forgive only the small stuff or the stuff that they remember," but every sin matters. Every mess matters. And so today we're turning to Zechariah 13, the answer to our Exxon Valdez oil spills of sin, the messes in our lives, as Zechariah points to the one thing that can truly clean our lives. Not just clean your life, but heal your life. Restore your broken hearts. Invigorate your clogged relationships. Revive your faith and families. As we're going to look at today, God's kingdom comes like a refinery to purify and cleanse our polluted hearts and lives. So we're in the kind of the middle of a series on the book of Zechariah. And looking a lot about at this theme of God's kingdom coming to us, ultimately in and through Jesus. And today in particular, we're looking at how God comes to clean us. The messes that fill our lives, the sin-stained hearts that we walk with, that we live with. And as we dig into Zechariah 13, we're going to use this theme of what, why, where, how, and when. First of all, the what. And as we look at the what, well, what is the what? Well, a fountain will be opened. That's what verse 1 says. Let's read it together. "On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity." The what is a fountain will be opened. And this verse talks about living waters will come from this fountain. Living waters implies that there are also dead waters. Dead water is pooling in our lives, allowing fear to take a hold within us. Anxiety, worry seeps its way in all around us. And yet, Zechariah promises a fountain of living water that purifies and that refines the muck and brokenness in our lives will be opened, Zechariah says. Three key words about the future: will be opened. But what about all those animal sacrifices that we see in the Old Testament? Weren't those sacrifices good enough to clean the people then? Well, certainly slain bulls and lambs and goats and rams, oh, there was blood. Lots and lots and lots of blood. So the answer to that question is nothing is wrong with the Old Testament sacrifices. In fact, all of those many offerings point to the greatest offering, the greatest cleansing of all, a greater refining, a greater fountain that will be opened. And that is great news, especially today. As we look around at our world, even now, we see things on social media, the Iran war, tension with other nations. There's Russia and China and others as well. And then there's a tension within the United States in our homes, families divided. And then there is this whole loneliness epidemic we don't really talk about a lot, but it's there. And all of these things are pushed forward even faster through social media. Social media is changing us, whether we realize it or not, in some good ways, but many ways we really need to rethink about and how it's impacting our families and homes and relationships today. And yet, God's refining fountain is always open. God invites you 24/7, 365 days a year. That is the what. But what about the why? The what is a fountain? The why, well, let me give you a little bit of a picture, a word picture with that. So picture yourself. You've been working in the backyard on a hot summer day. I wouldn't consider now a summer day, but it's kind of warm outside. So today, now, even. So let's say you're outside working today, and you are caked in slime and grime and just, you know, from working outside. You know, you have a wedding to go to that afternoon, and so you go inside, and you put on your best clothes, and you head out the door. Do you see a problem? What did we forget to do? What's missing? Well, a shower or bath, right? Nobody just changes their clothes without first taking a shower and washing off the dirt and the sweat from being outside. Nobody does that except us. In fact, the entire human race reeks of sin in the presence of a holy God. We all smell and reek, and yet we don't realize how bad we are. There is no amount of Axe spray that will cover that smell, right? Have you ever walked through a junior high hallway lately or a middle school locker room? And maybe some of you need to hear this little meme today. This is not a shower in a can, right? And yet, we try to mask our scent of sin all the time, don't we? We try to busy ourselves, and so we don't think about the brokenness in our families and in our lives and our homes. We try to do acts of kindness toward others. Meanwhile, our life inside is falling apart. That smell, that stink is still there. But yet, there are some things you just can't spray away. And there are many who go their entire lives without seeing the need to clean their lives from sin, trying to hide their stench, douse their lives with acts, doing good works, helping others, and doing all these things instead of doing the thing that matters most. Coming to this place, this fountain, the cleaning here today. Rex Hudler said it like this. He said, "Be a fountain, not a drain." How many of us would be more the latter? And yet, we were reminded, Zechariah says that the fountain will be opened. Well, where? Where will this fountain be opened? Where is the fountain that Zechariah is talking about? Well, we need to take a step back to Zechariah 12, which will help us answer the question of where today. I invite you to join with me in just a moment when Zechariah says, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced." Let's join together. "And they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. They will look on me, the one they have pierced." Where is this fountain that Zechariah is talking about? Did you catch it? And what he said in the text, in the verse, God says, "They will gaze upon me whom they have pierced." God pierced. Well, pierced with what? Well, with a razor sharp tip of a spear. Where did this happen? Calvary. John 19:34 describes a Roman soldier taking that spear and cutting our Savior's side. As John goes on to say, there was a sudden flow of blood and water. Here is Zechariah's fountain, water flooding from the body who was dying and dead at this point. A gushing river of life surging from the one who hangs dead upon a cross. Living water from the one who cried, "I thirst." Here is Jesus, crushed and cursed by slime and sludge of the world today, all for you. Well, how did he do this? How is this fountain of water gushing from our Savior's side? You know, clean, and how does it clean and refine all the gunk and sludge in our life, the stink and smell from within us? Well, it comes down to one word, baptism. Like a pipe, baptism links us to the open fount of living water. Baptism delivers the gift of Jesus' cross and crucifixion and resurrection to us. Baptism announces that all of your guilt and shame is gone. The debt has been paid. Your sins are forgiven. The past is wiped clean, and hell has been conquered once and for all. As Ezekiel 36 talks about these fountain waters, where it says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols." Baptism empowers us to hear Jesus calling us back, inviting us back into his fold, to bring us home and creating in us clean hearts. If not baptism, and if you're not baptized, I'd love to have a conversation with you about doing that and what baptism is and what it's like. You know, this fountain flowing through baptism won't do us any good if we just sit and look at it and think, I wish my kids and wife would get under that water. They need more of that water. They need that water, but what about you? What about us? Because there are times we need to look in the mirror as well and do a smell check of ourselves. Those waters are for you and me as well to live in these waters daily. You know, we blame others for our guilt. We accuse. We're good at it. We point fingers. We blame our parents. We blame our spouse. We blame our bosses. We blame our government. You name it, we blame it. Some bury, others blame. And yet, a guilt trip is the most expensive trip that you will ever take. And the cost of that trip is your peace, your joy, your happiness, your relationships. But there is a solution. Zechariah today points us to that solution. A water, a fountain of water and blood. The Redeemer's refinery. And in that refinery, in these waters, your debt is paid completely. The guilt is taken away as well. It is gone. And so when does this happen? Well, a fountain will be opened. Why? Well, we stink. Where? Calvary. How does it happen? Through baptism. When? We're missing when. And when do these waters flow? When do these waters come to me? When does it purify my slimed and gunk-filled life and heart? When will my slimed fears go away? Well, it's because of Jesus' love for you. And he loves you very, very, very much. That this life-giving, soul-refreshing water flows to you as well. And when does this happen? Right here and right now. As this fountain is open for you today to wash away every spill, every brokenness, every crude oil mess, everything he washes away. It's like that old hymn goes, and I'm sure you're familiar with these words. What can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, we come before you. We thank you for that blood, those waters that refresh us inside and out that we need to be reminded of as we walk through this season of Lent and walk with you to the cross, to be reminded just how much you love us, that you are willing to send your one and only Son to die. And through that death, waters have flowed. Waters that flow into us and through us into this world around us today. Through our baptisms, you place a name on our hearts and our lives. You give us a promise. You forgive us. You restore us inside and out. Thank you, Father, for this gift, this word of life that Zechariah points us to a fountain of living water. In your name, we pray. Amen.